Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Just have one announcement again. It's the same announcement we've been making, but it bears repeating. The church picnic will be next Sunday, June the 29th. Next Saturday. This Saturday, June the 29th. June the 29th from 12 to 4 at Burl Home Park. Again, please come. We always have a good time when we're there. Time for fellowship and games and just having a good time together in the Lord. So, again, that's going to be from 12 to 4. So please be there. Of course, there'll be other things going on as the summer progresses. We will have a vacation Bible school is coming up. There's still time to volunteer to participate in that. And please make sure that you pass the word. Any children that you might know, please bring them or inform them that we will be having a vacation Bible school on July the 16th through the 18th. So we look forward to that as well. Many other things that will be going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church, please, as always, read your bulletin. Also, go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is taking place here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our reading this morning will come from 1 Samuel. We'll be reading from Chapter 17 of Samuel, beginning at with the first verse and then skipping down and reading through verses 4 through 11, and then 19 through 23, and then 32 through 49. So it's a long story. We're breaking the story up a little bit. But at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekai and Ephes-Damim. Saul and the Israelites gathered and encamped in the valley of Eli and formed the ranks against the Philistines. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Eli fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for the battle, army against army. And David left all the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers as he talked with them. The champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. And then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. And he slung the pouch in his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near to David, and with his shield bare in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." The word of the Lord. Amen. The story of David and Goliath is certainly a well-known story. Many of us are familiar with it. Certainly an iconic story, one of the most iconic stories in the Old Testament. Again, it's a long story, so I've never really preached on it before because it is so long, but it's definitely a story that most people know and that most people are familiar with. We read a little bit of David's story last week. David, the young shepherd boy, the youngest son of Jesse, David, the runt of the litter, who against all the odds was chosen by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. We were told that David was chosen not because he was the biggest, he was chosen not because he was the strongest, but he was chosen because of his heart. We were told that God knew David's heart, and so David, the youngest son of Jesse, was the one that the Lord had chosen to be the next king of Israel. But this week, David is still just a boy, not yet old enough to join the ranks of the hardened warriors of Israel as they line up against their arch enemy, the Philistines. We can imagine David doing what boys do, dreaming of the day when he too can join his older brothers on the front lines of battle. And so David is still just a boy, still wet behind the ears, still just a young man, not able to yet join the hardened warriors of Israel. But our reading this morning doesn't start with David, of course. Instead, it starts with the mighty Philistine warrior Goliath. And it's Goliath who strikes fear in the hearts of the Israelite warriors. Goliath, as you all know, is big. According to the text, he stands 10 feet tall. Though in other textual variants, he's said to be about 7 feet tall, around 6'8", 6'9". But whether he's 10 feet tall or 7 feet tall, he's big. He's a big guy, not somebody you would easily want to mess with. His body armor alone weighs around 250 pounds, if you can imagine that. Can you imagine just how big you'd have to be to support 250 pounds of armor? And of course, he's very well equipped. He's got bronze leggings on his legs beneath his knees to protect his legs from injury. And he's got a bronze helmet to protect his head from injury. And he's got a big spear too. Indeed, we're told that the head of his spear is around 20 pounds. So it's kind of heavy. A 20-pound a spear with a head of 20 pounds. Occasionally, I'll go to the gym every once in a while, and they have these metal balls with various increments of weight, 10, 15, 20 pounds, some of them. And occasionally, I'll take one of those 20-pound balls of steel and will exercise with it. And you'll know it doesn't take long before it can beat you up. But Saul has a spear head that weighs 20 pounds, and it's made out of steel, we're told, or it's made out of iron, which means that Saul is operating with the latest technology. Remember, this is still the Bronze Age. This is still the age of bronze, and iron is just emerging as a new technology, and Saul has the newest of technology. He has iron, and so he's a formidable figure all the way around, a formidable figure in terms of his size, a formidable figure in terms of his armor, a formidable figure in terms of his weapons. He's menacing, indeed. But it wasn't just his physical appearance that struck fear in the hearts of the Israelite warriors, but Saul was also a master of trash talking. He goes to the front lines every day, and he talks trash to the Israelite warriors. I used to, told you I was a big boxing fan back in the day. Even now, in moments of weakness, I might sneak a peek at one of the big fights that comes along. But those of you who know boxing know that a big part of the game, a big part of the pre-fight hype, is always the trash talking. People, the opponents trash talk each other, and the name of the game is to intimidate your opponent, to psych your opponent out, and so you engage in trash talking, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. Sometimes it just makes the other opponent mad. But Saul, Goliath is a master in trash talking, and that's what he does, and it works, because the Israelites are totally intimidated by him. They're totally overcome with fear. Maybe you know something about that this morning. Maybe you've experienced the kind of fear that they've experienced, the fear that sort of paralyzes you, a fear that keeps you hunkered down, a fear that just don't go away, or that you pray will go away. But that's what they're experiencing this morning as Goliath, this huge giant of a man, comes out and challenges them. Indeed, we're told that even King Saul himself is afraid. Saul, of course, is the biggest man in Israel. He's the tallest man. He's head and shoulders over everyone else. And not only that, but he's the king. And the king in those days was supposed to be bad. You didn't become a king if you were afraid. And yet in the face of Goliath, Saul is afraid. He's afraid to meet Saul, Goliath in battle. He's afraid to suit up and go challenge Goliath himself. And so the whole Israelite encampment is afraid of this mighty giant, this mighty warrior of a man, Goliath. But that's when we are told that David enters the story. David is sent to the battlefield to check on his brothers and to bring them some supplies and some food. And when he gets to the front lines, David can see for himself this giant Philistine. And here's the way he is trash-talking the Israelites. And we're told, instead of David cowering in fear and running and hiding and being afraid, that we're told that David, the little shepherd boy, David, the runt of the litter, David, the person who's often overlooked, David is determined to take up the battle. He is determined to join Goliath in battle. And so David goes to King Saul and asks, What will be given to the person who defeats this giant in battle? And Saul tells him, but Saul also, I imagine, is a little bit ashamed and a little bit embarrassed that this little young shepherd boy is the one who has the courage to take on Goliath. And so Saul and David's brothers and others try to talk David out of him. They point out the obvious. Not only is Goliath far bigger than you, David, he's bigger than you, he's bigger than all of us, but he also has other advantages as well. He has experience. He's been a warrior since youth. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to fight. He's a warrior of all warriors, and you don't stand a chance. You're just a boy. You're just a lad. You don't have any experience. You've never even been tested on the battlefield. Have you ever heard anything like that? Have you ever been discouraged or told that you don't stand a chance in doing something that you want to do? But David is not deterred. Instead, David points out his own experiences, not as a warrior, but David points out his experience with God, his experience in trusting the Lord. David points out how the Lord has delivered him in the past, how the Lord has saved him from bears and lions. And so David is confident that the Lord will deliver him from Goliath as well. And so Saul gives David his blessing. And he also gives David his armor, which makes sense. When you go to facing a challenge, you need all the reinforcements you can get, need all the armor you can get, all the things you think you need in order to meet the challenge, all the money you think you'll need, all the resources you think you'll need, all the people you think you'll need. You need all the things that the world can give you in order to help shore up the battle. But of course, none of the Saul's armor fits David. It doesn't suit him, and so David doesn't rely on the worldly armor. Instead, he takes his little slingshot, and he goes and he takes 5 stones, and it's those 5 stones that he uses to go and engage the giant Goliath. And I'm sure you all know the rest of the story. David goes and he confronts the giant. And when the story is all over, it's Goliath and not David who has been felled in battle. Many of us first heard this story of David and Goliath way back in Sunday school when we were kids, when we were children, and It's a story that I think resonates with children, perhaps because when you're a child, almost everyone is a giant. Everyone is bigger than you, stronger than you. Everyone tells you what to do. Everyone guides and directs you. Everyone can be a bit of a bully. And so children know what it means to be small and powerless and constantly at the bottom of everything. But let's face it, many of us adults also know what it's like to feel small. Many of us know what it's like to be powerless and constantly at the bottom of things. The world is filled with forces and powers that seem so big and overwhelming that they often intimidate us and keep us hunkered down and paralyzed by our fears and uncertainties. I think that's why many of us love to root for the underdog. We love those stories where the little guy triumphs against all odds, the small college that fights its way through the Final Four and then takes on the big state powerhouse and wins, or the individual lone citizen who takes on the corrupt political machine, or the small-time farmer who takes on the big corporate agricultural interests. We all love those stories where the little guy triumphs and wins over the big. The author Malcolm Maxwell has an interesting book called David and Goliath, and he points out that sometimes it's our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and our powerlessness and all the ways that we might think that we are suffering a disadvantage that might actually help us to develop the kind of disposition and to develop the kind of skills and cunning that can help us to triumph later on in life. One of the examples that he gives is of the Reverend James Shuttlesworth, who was a pastor in Birmingham during the heady days of the Civil Rights Movement. And Reverend Shuttlesworth was often a target of violence and mob violence, and he was often threatened and had his home threatened to be blown up and beaten up. But each time he was beaten up, he gained more and more courage, more and more strength. And so there was a time when he was no longer afraid. He had gained that much courage and that much strength from the ways that God had delivered him in the past. And so he knew that in any particular instance in the future that God was going to be with them and that God would deliver him and help him to overcome. And that's David's story. But the story of David and Goliath is not just a story of the little guy. It's not just a story of the small guy who triumphs. It's not just a story of the underdog who's able to overcome overwhelming odds. But the story of David and Goliath is first and foremost a story about God. It's a story about God who is faithful, a story about a God who saves, a God who delivers his people, a God who is bigger than any Goliath that we might face. And so God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to face your fears. Don't be afraid to face the overwhelming odds. Don't be afraid to face your Goliath. Don't be afraid, because the battle belongs to me. The battle belongs to God. And I hope we all hear that the battle is not just our battle, but the battle belongs to God. Whatever Goliath you might be facing out there this morning, the battle belongs to God. Maybe your Goliath this morning is addiction. Maybe you're battling with addiction, and it just seems like it's an overwhelming, powerful force. It has you within its grip. You don't seem to be able to be able to break it. But the word of the Lord this morning is that the battle is not just yours, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Maybe this morning you're battling a dark, dark depression. Your heart and your soul is engulfed in depression, and it just seems so big and so overpowering. But the word of the Lord this morning is that the battle belongs
to the Lord. It's not your battle alone. It belongs to the Lord. Maybe you are a community advocate, or you're fighting to make your little corner of the world a better place, and the problems that are arrayed against you seem so overwhelming, so big, so daunting. The word of the Lord this morning is the battle belongs to the Lord. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelming. The battle belongs to the Lord.
And that's what the story of David and Goliath is about. It's a word to God's people, that they don't fight alone, that they don't need the things that the world says you have to have in order to win the decisive battles. You don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to have the advanced technology. All you have to have is what David has, is a little bit of heart. Because that's what God is looking at. God is looking at a heart that is willing to trust God. And that's what David does. I think for many of us, the biggest Goliath that we face is the Goliath of death. The power of death in the world and all that it portends, the forces and powers of death. Let's face it, it was the forces and powers of death that stood behind Goliath. It's the forces and powers of death that keep many people afraid and hunkered down in their place. Sometimes we are not quite sure that God will come through for us in the face of death. But we're reminded this morning that God is even bigger than the power of death. God is bigger than all that portends death. God is bigger than sickness. God is bigger than disease. God is bigger than isolation, social isolation. God is bigger than war. God is bigger than the things that make us afraid. God is bigger than everything. God is bigger even than death. And so the word of the Lord this morning is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fight for the kinds of world that God wants to bring into existence. Don't be afraid to fight for righteousness. Don't be afraid to give yourself for the ways that you know that God wants us to live. Don't be afraid to make yourself available for God's purposes in the world. Where would we be today if there were people who weren't afraid of the power of death? Many of us wouldn't be here in this room this morning enjoying this freedom because someone said, I'm not afraid. Some of us wouldn't have the rights we have today if someone said, despite the overwhelming odds, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid even of the power of death. Some of us wouldn't be here this morning if someone didn't say, I'm going to put my life on the line because I know that the battle is ultimately the Lord's. You and I are called to go out into the world, small as we might be. We're called to go out into the world as David went out into the world, assured of this one thing, that what Paul calls the great last enemy has already been defeated. The power of death has already been defeated. It was defeated by one who also hailed from Bethlehem.
He was defeated by one who also seemed an unlikely candidate to be the Lord of the world. He was defeated by the one who didn't wear the armaments of war and all the reinforcements that we think you have to have in order to make your way in the world. But it was defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who humbly faced down the power of death and defeated it once and for all on the cross. And now the word of the Lord is, you don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid this morning, little plot. Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid no matter how scary things look. Don't be afraid of what looks like the seeming chaos in our world. Don't be afraid of the wars and the rumors of wars. Don't be afraid of political polarization. Don't be afraid of division and strife within our own borders. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid, because God is bigger than all of our Goliaths. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And so we have confidence that the Lord will deliver us and save us from all that tempts to strike our hearts with fear. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we gather as your people, often just a small collection of your people in the midst of a world that seems so big and scary at times. Sometimes we are not quite sure how to engage the world around us, how to relate to the world around us. Sometimes the forces and powers of death rage and seem so powerful. And yet you have called us forth as people of faith. You've called us forth as people who are called to trust in you. You've called us forth as people who are not to be afraid, but as people who, in faithfulness, go out to slay the giants that are often placed in our midst, to slay them with your word and with your self-giving love, the same love that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself gained the victory. And so we ask this morning that you help us to be that kind of people as well. People of faith, people of trust, people who know that the battle belongs to you. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus that we pray here this morning. Amen.